All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a. Yikes, Stacey Jo Rost. I saw a story today that blew my mind. But before we get into that, let me remind everybody that this hour is brought to you by Chef Store. Stacey Jo Rost, can we address something really quick before we get into the segment? Yesterday, you and I were chatting about Game of Thrones. Deep cut, Game of Thrones analysis. Somebody said to me, can you guys please stop talking about movies, and can you guys please talk about sports or something like that? Now, you and I have come to an understanding that I know very little about sports. You know a decent amount about politics, but what we both share a love of is culture, commentary, movies, television, celebrities. And so why not try to move towards that as opposed to me struggling through sports or me making you uncomfortable talking about contemporary politics? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And this person sounds like what we in the biz call a hater.
What? Yeah. 100% just a hater. But okay, so Kim Kardashian, speaking of haters, by the way, Kim Kardashian has revealed
person's gonna hate this topic. I'm so mad.
So Kim Kardashian has revealed that she failed her second law exam on the final episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I had no idea that that show was on for 14 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That show started when I was, 19 years old or 18 years old, and it has been 14 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Kim Kardashian wanted to be an attorney or a lawyer. In the state of California, you can take something where they call the baby bar exam, where all you have to do is basically hang out with a lawyer at a law firm for like 6 months, and then you can go and you can take the bar exam, but it's kind of a reduced bar exam. It limits you because then you're only able to practice law in the state of California, but regardless, you're still technically a lawyer. Kim Kardashian has tried once, now twice, failed both times. I don't know why she wants to get involved with law. And let me break it down like this. I care very much about film. I care very much about television and art and what that looks like. I have a YouTube channel where I physically work with film, where I make magic happen. Many, many years ago, I wanted to make movies. I wanted to make actual full-length films. And I found that in the process of trying to make one of them, that it was not for me. The process was convoluted. It was confusing. There were too many bits and pieces moving, and it wasn't for me. So I scaled, based on my own wiring, I scaled what I wanted to do down to my skill set, which was to make 9 to 20 minute videos that were funny and relevant and so on and so forth. I think that Kim Kardashian should do the same thing. I'm not saying don't pursue your dreams. If you want to be involved with law, do that, but maybe not as a lawyer, maybe as a paralegal, maybe as somebody who writes about law. That's what I'm trying to say, Stacey Jo Rost.
Yeah. I am team chase your dreams, do whatever you want to do. And I also think it's never too late in life to do that. I wonder if with Kim Kardashian, there's got to be this part of life to people that have tons of money that it's just like, I can kind of do anything I want.
Yeah.
And if you decide that, like, what's my next passion project or phase of life that I want to do? And maybe because was her dad a lawyer? Maybe there's a little bit of something there where she really cares about it. They could be something where when she was working with was it clemency for people that maybe there was something when she was doing that where it sparked something and she was like, wow, I have to do this. It is a really, really tough path to go down.
Yeah.
And people spend a very long time trying to do this. And a lot of people don't always do it. So I think there's a very awkward conversation you have to have with people sometimes about like, what if we could half the dream? Like, what's an edit of the dream? Like, I've had to have that conversation with myself in my life over like, you know what? it was great to have this goal and this yep. plan, but yep. This might be something a little out of your wheelhouse, but yeah, I don't think, I certainly don't think she's stupid. I think that she for a long time played into that trope and only more recently has not done it. I don't actually think she's dumb though.
So my buddy Larry is a lawyer, but he is a bad lawyer. Every single major decision since he became a lawyer, oh man, he's been a lawyer for 7 years. He's been wrong on it. Every single one. The Weinstein case, he thought he was going to get off. Bill Cosby, he thought he was going to get off. Derek Chauvin, he thought he was going to get off. Larry is a bad lawyer. Larry, again, has been wrong on every single major case of the last 7 years. However, comma, Larry is an encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to the law. You want to reference a case? He knows it. You want to talk about eugenics in the United States? You want to talk about copyright law? You want to talk about maritime law? The guy is an encyclopedia. He's just bad at being a lawyer. Does that make sense? He can reference yes. all this stuff. But then when it comes to the actual application of the law, he is wrong all of the time. So I think to myself, Larry has kind of scaled his version of what it would mean to be like a high-priced lawyer down to his own private law firm, his own private law practice, where he gives consultations to send other people, if that makes yeah. sense. He himself does not enter the courtroom. He himself does not actually take cases. He refers people out. He consults with other attorneys because he's bad at it. I feel like Kimmy K needs to have that kind of a conversation with somebody where somebody says, you can be an advocate for people who have been imprisoned for drug offenses. You can use your celebrity to help children in the juvenile court system, but you yourself do not actually need to participate in it.
Now, I feel like because I'm currently wearing a blazer, I can speak on this. being a lawyer is very difficult, but if I were Kimmy K's friend, would encourage her to, at least for right now, keep going the path that she wants.
Wow.
Just for right now. You've got the money, you've got the time. You've got, you know what I mean? Like, you can afford people to watch your kids who are still very young. Like, you can afford as many tutors as you want. You can afford right. to take this test. You're not missing out on anything in your life. Like, you're, for now, pursue that. Do exactly what you want to do. But, it could be a lesson, Jack, in the idea that not pursuing one goal, or not being able to pursue one goal or achieve one goal, rather, not being able to achieve one goal doesn't mean closing off every path. I do agree with that. Like, there is, it's almost a lesson in, like, I feel like when we're little, we think of like three jobs that exist, like, you know, doctor, lawyer, teacher. When I was little, I want to be a waitress. But there's like a handful of jobs you know exist.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you realize there's all kinds of different avenues. Like you just said, there's like different paths that your friend took where it was like, he realized that I was really good at this one thing, but not so good at something else. But wow, little did I know there's a whole avenue where I can go this way. That maybe that can be a lesson in that, that like Kim is clearly fascinated by the law, clearly has like some kind of passion for it. The only option she has isn't just be a lawyer. She's actually got like a bajillion options. But for right now, I say go all in on it. Like, wow. You've got nothing to lose. You've got nothing but money and time.
When you look at the phenomenon of the Kardashians and you look at the business model of the Kardashians, do you feel like this is a bad business model for someone's mental health? Do you feel like, what's the mom's name? Courtney?
Chris,
do you feel like she prostituted her daughters in so many ways? How do you view this?
I don't think she prostituted her. I recognize that it's like a metaphorically.
Right. Yeah, no, not literally.
You know what? I think that the family unit from the outside, as someone who hasn't watched recent seasons but has watched the show, and I follow them on Instagram, I think that they have somewhat of a healthy family unit and that they all seem to have health, at least positive relationships with each other. So right. It's not like a family that's broken apart. I have wondered openly in conversations with friends. It was one thing for Kim, Courtney, and Khloe, who were in their 20s when the show was happening, and then when they became super famous. And another thing for Kendall and Kylie, who were children. And I have always felt like Kylie especially, that it would be really tough to grow up in that world. Like it would be a lot of pressure. And I think that Kylie, this is me being very subjective and very unfair because it's just my opinion, I feel like she grew up very quickly, and it makes me, on the outside, I think of me at 16 versus Kylie Jenner at 16. And I'm like, holy cow, this is such a different generational thing,
right,
that I think is not influenced just by our age difference, but by being in the public eye and being in a family who makes their money and their brand by being in the public eye versus being just a person. And so I don't think it makes anyone a bad parent to have your kid doing that, because it seems like they have a support system there. Like they all support each other. But man, like I already have an issue with how quickly we force girls to grow up.
Right.
Like how quickly, I mean, you even listen to people just talk about it. The idea that like a 28 year old man is like just a kid. Or like, oh, he's so young. He's got his whole life. And that a woman of the same age is, you know, starts getting questions about aging or starts fearing about her own aging. Like it's, we already put like this advanced, you know, like speed limit on women and how quickly they grow up. And it's, I think unintentionally or not, I think that Kylie Jenner's life, as dictated by that show, really put that on full display in a way that kind of encouraged it.
You just made me think about Logan Paul in this sense, to talk about sports. Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather. Money Mayweather walks away with $100 million, right? Logan Paul walks away with 20. Logan Paul got his start doing Vines because he wanted to create a reel. He wanted to be an actor. He wanted to be a high-level A-list actor, and he failed at that. And he was able to curtail his career now to be basically a capitalist clown. And what I mean by that is the brand of Logan Paul is Logan Paul being a fool. It is being a...
hate watching Logan Paul.
Exactly. Exactly my point. I think in some ways the Kardashians have done the same thing, where they have made themselves, and I'm coining this term right now, a capitalist clown, where you're not actually engaging with my product or the thing that I produce. Like you and I produce news commentary, sports commentary, news commentary. Logan Paul produces Logan Paul. That is all he produces. The only thing that Kardashians produce truthfully is the Kardashians. You can take a lipstick company and put Kardashian on it. It doesn't matter the quality of the product. It's just the brand. Or you can take a t-shirt, a regular cotton t-shirt, and put Logan Paul's little parrot on it, and that's what you buy. There is a kind of a perversion now, I think, because of it, and I think it started with the Kardashians, where now very young people have aspirations to be influencers, but they don't actually make anything, and they don't actually produce anything outside of me. It's very narcissistic, but it can also be very lucrative. I mean, look at the Paul brothers. They make millions of dollars being hated, not liked, not respected. How will people view them in 20 years as clowns?
Yeah, I mean, there is a randomness to a lot of jobs that precede influencers. Influencers, I think, just feel kind of foreign to people who are a little older and didn't grow up with that. That said, the one thing that I notice as someone who consumes an unfortunately vast amount of reality TV is that younger people, it becomes more painfully obvious that they're putting on. And I think that for a generation that puts a premium on authenticity, it is so hard to come by because you grow up in a world where you are, from the second you're young enough to get social media, on for the world, and you're projecting one thing to the world. And that is such a difficult thing to try to do. And so it becomes like, I watch like Love Island, basically, is this fantastic reality show originally from Britain, originally from the UK. It's amazing. They tried to do it in the US and the first season bombed. It was awful, in part because US young adults and teenagers were awful in front of the camera. They couldn't forget they were on camera and they were on and they were kind of projecting who they wanted to be. And it became painfully obvious compared to the UK version where they kind of forgot the cameras were there and they were still silly and you kind of made fun of them, but you felt like you were seeing them not knowing that cameras were there. And the US version was just so different because our media is just that much more, I don't know what it is. It's not, there's influencers in the UK, but it's just, it's at a different level here.
Yeah, I think that's so insightful, Stacey, because it does. You can actually see it in the way that, like in film theory, when we look at a camera, we would say that a camera changes the dynamic of the room, but only if you allow it to do so. So it's kind of the difference between, you ever remember when you were a kid and someone would be walking around with a VHS camera and they pointed at your Uncle Jerry and he's like, "Hey, I'm wacky Uncle Jerry." And then you pointed at Grandma and she doesn't move. The idea is that the camera exposes somebody just by its very nature, just by its very presence, and transforms an individual. Now, for some people, that's acting, in the case of like Jack Nicholson, or what's another old person reference that I can use? Marlon Brando. But now,
perfect.
When you use the camera that is in your phone, I think it's transforming people into something else. An alternative version of how they think they should be. And when I watch something like the Paul brothers or the Kardashians, I see someone who's acting, but also is not necessarily, it's a version of themselves. It's a section of themselves that is blown up or kind of extended in such a way that kind of distorts them. I don't know if you sat down with the Kardashians and actually talked to them, if they'd be able to talk to you like you were a real human being, or the Paul brothers.
Maybe not. They're probably so insulated. From
exactly.
When you're only around your rich, beautiful friends. I mean, I think all of them, you know, like, look, I know we're running out of time here, but like the concept of even TikTok houses,
right,
where like all these TikTokers live together in a mansion, what you're seeing is never the real world. It's like we've created this separate world on social media that at times makes us forget where we are and kind of, leave, and kind of take our minds away from things. But it also has very real effects on mood and self-esteem. And we've continued to just kind of reinforce that by almost glossing over the idea that like TikTokers live together in a mansion and you see someone living in this beautiful home and then you realize like that's not their home. That's not where they live.
Yeah.
That's not real. This influencer you see with all these beautiful clothes, well, it's because they grew up with millions of dollars.
Right.
It's just creates such an unhealthy reinforcement and we never actually acknowledge the truth behind the kind of underpinnings of it.
Stacey Jo, thanks for going deep with us tonight. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a dangerous weekend this weekend, Stacey Jo Ross.
I won't. No, I will not. I bought some blueberry muffins I'm excited to eat tomorrow.
Yes.
So probably as risky as I'll get, because you never know. There could be like a weird stem in there. So
we will take a really quick break. Thanks again, Stacey Jo Ross. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. In the studio right now is the producer / board op / all around great guy, Peyton. Wait, I missed a part where I'm supposed to say the producer of the Jason Ranch show, and then you're supposed to say, "It's me, it's Peyton," and then everyone's supposed to go, "Yay!" I completely messed that up.
Do people cheer for the Jason Ranch show? Is that a thing? I didn't know if that's a thing. I never get to come over to this side of the radio.
No, people cheer. But we have the live studio audience, and everybody cheers, and everybody's very pleased that we have you in the studio. How you been, buddy? It's been a long time.
I've been great. What a production. You're able to afford a live audience here? That's magical. Why can't we get that on the Jason? I need to go make a call to Jason right now.
Well, not only that, but we have a live, we have a pianist who plays piano for us every time we need to get a little sad.
What is the budget on this show?
It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And not only that, get this, but I hired Alan Silvestri, And every time I want to make a speech, all we have to do is cue him. And all of a sudden, the orchestra comes in and we start saying, listen, Peyton, this is Cairo Knights. And we have millions of dollars at our disposal. And anytime we want to have a pianist or a concert or a live studio audience, we're going to have it. Because there is no expense that is overlooked for Cairo Knights. Literally millions of dollars dumped into this show so that we can put on the best performance of all time. What do you say about that?
That's amazing. Radio magic, yet again, another night just brings a tear to my eye. I am starstruck being here with the one and only Jack Stein on Cairo
Knights.
That's
right, buddy. So, Peyton, we were going to talk about radio. We were going to talk about what it's like working in radio in 2021. Why? One, because it's a really slow news night. But two, because you've been doing this for quite some time. Brady Bones is just getting into it. Do you have any words of wisdom for the great Brady Bones as to what it's like working in radio in 2021?
Yeah, get out.
All right, I see the door.
Leave. No, radio's fantastic. In 2020, 2021, whatever we're still calling this last 15 months of radio is, you know, we're flying by the seat of our pants. And if you don't like your standard 9-to-5 and sitting in a cubicle and pressing buttons and doing invoices and accounts payable. No disrespect to anybody out there who does accounts payable or receivable.
Yeah.
Mad respect to you people. But if you don't like doing that, work in radio. Radio's fun. Brady, you've got a great hang of it since you've been here.
Yeah.
I've been able to watch a lot of it, and I'm very excited to see what you can do over the next few months, years here.
That's very positive feedback, and I'm happy to hear, considering I worked with you like all last week doing Jason Rance, doing all the producing on that. That was pretty fun, and I was happy to hear that I did a good job on that, and now I got my first solo board op night.
I'm sure Jack can attest for this, too. Jason's not the best with positive feedback, so I need to compensate for where it's not. So maybe all last week where you missed out on positive feedback, here it is all in a 3-minute nutshell of me saying, Brady, you did a fantastic job, and I'm excited to see what you were able to do with this product on Cairo Knights.
That's so funny. So the funny thing is that whenever I do Jason's show, I always worry that Jason is listening, because it's Jason's show, right? That's his baby. That's his bag. It is the Jason Rance show. And after a couple of times of doing it, every time I would say, hey, did you listen to the show? Did you like the show? He'd go, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So I got kind of relaxed with it. And then when I was doing show after show after show on the Jason Rance show 6 months ago for Christmas, he sent me a text during one of the segments that was like, hey, just so you know, I think that maybe you should try this. And I started panicking live on air. It wasn't like a heavy note or anything like that. It was like, hey, maybe in the future, try this. A really nice text, pretty banal text. But I realized that he was listening to the show as I was doing it. And I had a full-on panic attack. My heart rate went through the roof. I started sweating profusely. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to totally mess this
Look,
up. But
count your lucky stars that he doesn't sit in the same studio as you through a window glaring at you with every mistake that you might make. He gives you the little verbal cues on, hey, try this next time. And, you know, it might work out really good. And that seems really positive.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I make a mistake. And I'm lucky there's a window separating us so I don't get the stapler thrown at me.
No, you're the next Duncan. He's going to beat you up instead of Duncan. He's going to be Peyton in the studio.
Peyton is you're the leader of the board ops, right? You're the Pied Piper. You're everybody's boss when it comes to the board ops.
I am. I am in charge. Whoever decision it was to give me kind of a managerial role clearly made a mistake, but hey, here I am. I'm still running with it.
Yeah, and so when you look at the lineup of board ops, we're talking, you know, Mr. Alex Overall, Mr. Tarek, I don't know his last name, Mr. Brady Bones, Mr. Shane Peterson. When we look at everybody out there, are you thinking we have a strong lineup? You think we got a strong crew of guys out here that are backing up all the boys and girls as we do our fun radio gigs?
Look, I don't let people who aren't all pros go on any of our three radio stations.
Yep.
These young men and women here are fine-tuned and can run these boards spectacularly. And, you know, I expect the best. I am very demanding, and I make sure that they are all ready before they go out onto their own, onto the airwaves, like Brady is tonight. You know, we made sure that he went through some really intensive training, and I think part of that is to get the KTTH treatment, because you do need that sort of sense of pressure that you're working on the Jason Rantz show, and there's a possibility of a stapler coming into your studio. And I know that's the second time I've referenced the stapler, and it's because it happens often. So I need to make sure that these board ops are up to Jason standards. And if they can meet Jason standards, they can do anything in this building. So we got a great crew over here on the staff at Bonneville.
I mean, you sent me right through the fire when I did the first show, because I was on Jason Rantz to start. I was just like, okay, this is the first show. This is going to be nice going in here. Oh, what's your name? Jason. Okay, cool. Oh, Peyton's here. He's my boss. Cool. He won't yell at me yet. And then I was just like, oh, I messed something up by 1 second, and I get the Jason glare just looking through the glass like, all right.
I think we also made a note that night that, like, immediately after Brady makes a mistake, we mentioned to the audience that he's, like, 6'12" and 110 pounds. And then I was like, wow, we are really ridiculing this rookie's looks on the air.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it's radio, and people can't see whether we're embellishing or whether it's accurate.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, all 6'12" and 110 pounds of Brady is still here in the building to tell his story.
I started doing radio with what you guys are doing, but Peyton and Brady, I didn't even get to do what you guys were doing. They didn't let me say anything for like months. They just had me sit there, and I was pressing buttons, and at a certain point in time, I was going to quit because I was so tired of it. Like, I was so tired of just not doing anything other than like beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And then finally, somebody that was hosting, my old co-host Dave Michaels, He goes, Jack, what do you think about this thing? And I was so panicked that I like shot up in my chair, and I immediately grabbed the mic and I was fumbling with it. You know, like I had no mic technique. So I'm like touching it and I didn't know what to do. And that was my first time on air. And I was so thankful for that somebody was actually willing to say, hey, what do you think about this thing? As opposed to just like, who's the guy in the other room behind the glass? You know what I mean?
I know completely what you mean, and I am so thankful for that host, because you have blossomed, Jack Stein, like the most beautiful flower.
Yes.
And I wish that I was a gardener or a herbivore of some kind so that I could name a beautiful flower that you remind me of.
Yeah.
But I don't know flowers, and I don't want to disrespect you by saying like sunflower or rose or something super basic that you can buy at like your local Safeway, because you, Jack Stein, are better than that.
Yes, sir. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, we have to get out of here. But Peyton, thank you so much for stopping by after hours when you're supposed to not even be here and to come into the studio and chat with us about radio. We'll take a really quick break to wrap all this up right after this. We'll be right back.
Looks like we're having a little bit of trouble getting Jack up this time. We're trying to get him on the phone, but that did not work. We're having a little bit of technical issues, but we will carry on with the segment unless, Jack, you are with us. Can you hear me? If you can, please say hello. It's weird I could hear him in preview, but we will go on nonetheless. Lisa, how are you doing this evening?
Missing Jack. I don't know what's going on there, but I hope he finds a way to jump into our conversation. I'm doing okay. Yeah, the weekend's coming up, so I am looking for a place to go road tripping in Washington. But it's going to be raining all weekend, and my dog Motley and I need a fun destination where we can go in the rain.
So you're a big outdoors road trip kind of person?
I hear him breathe. Was that just...
I thought I heard Jack breathing.
Maybe he can't hear us. I'm looking for a good place to bring my dog, and we do not like to get wet.
Not like to get wet, so avoiding water, lakes, ponds, just a nice little hiking trail maybe?
Yeah, a little level hiking trail.
Level hiking, like a plateau.
Nothing up.
No uphill.
This goes straight.
Just straight.
Yep.
Straight line, A to B. I like to see it. All right, well, this segment's called What's On Your Mind. So, Lisa, what's on your mind?
That was on my mind, and I'm still trying to sell my stick shift Corolla, but everybody that is interested in buying it says they don't want to buy it because it's a stick shift.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I've actually heard around there is people these days, they're not really into the stick shift kind of stuff. They're more into the automatic. I actually do know how to drive a stick.
Hey, you want to buy a Corolla?
Yeah, I'm good with my Ford Escape that I got right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I learned, my dad actually made me start on a stick shift instead of going straight to the manual, in which we had, and it actually has paid off a few times of not having to get some people's cars home from certain places.
What was the first car you learned to drive on?
First car I learned to drive on was a 1995 GMC Sonoma pickup.
Okay.
And that was the manual. It was manual.
Yep, heavy duty. Mine was a 1972 Volkswagen bus.
Volkswagen bus.
Hippie style.
Oh, now that's what's up. And that I had a friend who actually played baseball with, who that's what he rolled up to every single time.
Cool.
And it was the best thing I could ever see.
It was very fun to drive. And that was the car that I drove for the first 5 or 6 years I was driving.
I mean, you could fit a lot of people in there. That's the road trip car right there. You should have kept that.
Yep, that would be fun to have right about now.
That would have been the best thing for you. Well, let's see. Let's see. What do I got on my mind? Well, it is Friday, so like you said, the weekend is upon us, and that is great. Today, actually, one of my best friend's birthday. Shout out to him, Kiahi. Turned 24. Good for him.
All right. Happy birthday.
Yeah, he's having a good time. Sad I'm not there, but I'm here. I'm getting work. Also, this Sunday, that's when I leave for my vacation to Vegas.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do when you go to Vegas?
I don't know. I've only been one time, and I was only 20 years old, so very limited when it came to the options of what I had.
Gamble, right, right. Now you can gamble.
Now I can gamble. Now I can drink legally, you know, all that stuff. But it's just going to be fun. It's got four friends going on a nice trip. It's been planned for a little bit. I don't really get out much. Aside from, like vacation-wise, like, I played baseball my whole life, so that I've been traveling around for that plenty of times, but for, like, strictly vacation purposes, I have done, like, nothing.
So where did you play baseball? What leagues?
Well, I mean, you want me to start from the beginning or the most notable?
What was the highest level that you got to?
Highest level I got to was the Division II level of college baseball I played at Central Washington University.
Wow, what position?
I was a pitcher.
Okay, so why aren't you a pitcher now?
Oh, that's a good question. Apparently, I wasn't good enough.
Oh.
I mean, also, it's extremely hard to get picked up in professional baseball out of a Division II. You don't get as many looks. Like, yeah, if you're a really, really good player, right, somebody will find you. But if you make it to a D1 level or even a high-up California junior college, scouts will be there all the time because they know it's a feeding ground. Central baseball, their record in the last few seasons has been, not too many prospects come out of here, except I got a couple friends that made it to the pros from that team.
Well, can you name names? What teams?
Jacob Forrester plays in the minor league system for the Cleveland Indians.
Cool.
I had one other friend who is retired now, but he was playing in the minor league system for the Philadelphia Phillies and actually, at that time, got to play the outfield with Bryce Harper during spring training.
That is very, very cool. Wow.
Oh, it was insane. When I heard he was doing that, I was just like, okay, I thought I was making it good in college. I thought I had it going. He's got it going on, not me.
Wow. Well, Brady, one of these days you're going to walk on to a spring training camp and you get yourself a look-see.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And if I make it, I'll make sure to send you a ticket.
Absolutely. That would be great.
We're definitely going to be getting on to that stuff. You got anything else on your mind tonight, Lisa? Anything about the weekend? Any more trip information that you could give us?
Oh, man. No, I love myself a good ferry boat ride. So maybe I'll go to one of the islands and see what I can do there.
Okay. You have, like, a preference on islands?
I love Whidbey Island.
Whidbey?
It's super fun. Yeah.
Okay. So, you ever been up, like, into the San Juans? You like being up there at all?
I haven't been to the San Juans in a really long time.
That's where my mom's from, actually. So up there is pretty nice, chill, relaxed, beaches. It's flat.
Yep, it's flat.
It's flat. You'd love it. And that's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for joining us. And we will be back tomorrow. Actually, not tomorrow, on Monday. But thank you for tuning in. You know when